Today's shiur, Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Beis. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Masechet. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The opening of today's shiur will in fact be the last few words on Daf Yud Aleph Omid Beis. We notice at the very last line the beginning of a Tanaic source, as you may be familiar already from learning the introductory material to our marking system, that Tanaic sources appear in our marking system in frames. In this particular sugya, in the topic that we're opening up with, we actually are continuing with a series that began a while ago, a series featured by the diamond marking as a series indicator, featuring grounds on which we extend the year, in the negative, reasons for not extending year. So we begin. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Ma'abrin Es Hashana B'Shnei Re'avon. We do not extend a month to a year if they are in the midst of a year of famine. The reason for that is that there's very little food around, and their food supply will be finished and they will, if we add a month, they're going to have to wait longer in order to benefit from the new grains that have grown in the past few months. The reason for waiting to use the new grains is a function of a mitzvah or an iser called the iser chodesh, which means that grains that developed recently during the winter season and early spring season are not permissible to be consumed until Tes Zayin Nisan. What's the significance of Tes Zayin Nisan? It's on that day that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban Omer was offered. The offering of a Korban Omer, a mincha made of Se'orim, a grain offering, at which point the new grains became permissible for general use. Therefore, if we were in a situation that was a famine year, and Nisan is approaching, and a decision is made before Nisan arrives to delay the arrival of Nisan by a month by adding a second Adar, this would cause a great deal of strain on the general public, being that there is little food around, and on the other hand, we're going to delay their being able to use and enjoy the new grains because we're adding a second Ador. This would be too much, and hence the halacha says that if we are in the midst of a famine year, we do not extend the year by adding another month, thereby causing them to have to hold off on the use of the new grains. The title we've assigned to this particular piece of Gemara is found in the outside margin under the Nosei, Ein Ma'abrin Bishnas Batzoris. We don't add a month during a famine year. We now see we bring in another Tanaic source that illustrates this. The source will feature a pasuk from Sefer Melachim, Beis, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Mem Beis. It involves a situation where a man comes forth with breads that just ripen, freshly ripened breads made of barley. And the people featured in this particular incident were going to partake of these barley breads that just ripened. What the ramifications of these details are to a famine year will become clear as we go on. Rebbe Oimer, the ish ba mi baal shalisha, baal shalisha, name of place, the avei li ish holokim, lechem bikurim, he brought to the prophet, lechem bikurim, esrim, lechem soirim, v'chulei. Lechem bikurim is an indication of bread made from grains that just ripened. And the pasuk says they were barley grain bread. And there's no region in Israel which hastens the ripening of its fruits, of its grains, like this area known as Baal Shalisha. And even so, even though you're in an area where things would tend to ripen early, lo bichra ela min echad, only one of the varieties, in this case the barley and not even the wheat, only the barley was ready. Shema toimar chitim, you might say that the one variety was wheat grains, which are generally later to ripen than the barley. Talmud lomar sorim, the pasuk itself says the one type of grain that ripened was the barley grain. Shema toimar lifnei olimar, you might say, well, the barley ripened, but it was still fairly early in the season, in that it was before the Omer, and it ripened on time. The ripening of barley, which is an early ripening grain, is expected to ripen before the Omer. Talmud Lomar, Tein Lo'om Vayochelu Achar Ho'omer Hoyo. The Pasuk says, give to the people this barley bread to eat from. The fact that they were able to eat from it indicates that it was after the Omer. It was after Tezayin Nisan. So far, what is described over here? We've described a situation where the earliest ripening grain was ripening actually fairly late. It was ripening later than it was expected, and that was the only thing that was available. Emor me'ata, from this you see, re'uya hoisa oisa shana shetis aber. That year was really fit to be extended, to have another month added to it, because you have a situation where the barley was, being that it was left untouched, non-lengthened, the barley was ripening after Pesach began. Had we added a month, the barley would have ripened before Pesach, which is the time it should ripen. Hence you have a situation here where the year should have been extended. Why did Elisha, the prophet, not decide to have it extended? It was a year of famine, as is explained in the psukim over there. And everyone was running to the granaries to get some food. And therefore, we left the year untouched. And Tes Zion Nisan, which is the time during which the new grains became permissible, was allowed to come on time as opposed to being delayed. And that's all because of this famine consideration. The next topic we feature in our outside margin under the heading Nosei, Ein Ma'abrin Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, that we don't lengthen, we don't declare a lengthened year before Rosh Hashanah. The lengthened year, of course, is the adding of a second Adar, Rosh Hashanah being several months before in Tishrei. The source begins, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Ma'abrin Es Hashanah Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. We don't decide upon the need to add an Adar before, we don't make the decision before Rosh Hashanah. The Imi Brua, if they make such a decision, they declare it before Rosh Hashanah, Eino Me'uberes. It will not be binding. Avol Mipnei Hadchak, if however there are very pressing circumstances, for example, unfriendly governments are attempting to interfere with the Jewish way of life, and that would cause problems with making calendar decisions. So, under pressing circumstances, Ma'abrin oiso achar Rosh Hashanah miyad, the decision to extend the year can be made immediately after Rosh Hashanah. V'afal pi kein ein ma'abrin ela ador. And even so, the only month that is added is Ador, namely an Ador Sheni. The Gemara now asks a question regarding this particular halacha that we're not ma'aber before Rosh Hashanah. We have a long question. You can see it with the encircled kuf and dashed vertical line that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, a long kushya, long question. Eini, Gemara asks, is that so? V'ha shochule l'rava. The following was sent to Rava. I would say that what we're going to see is a somewhat cryptic message, but the point will become clear after we offer the proper explanation. Zug bo merekes. Zug is a pair of Talmidei Chachamim came from Rekes, from Tveria. V'tafsu nesher. Ubiyodam devorim. Tafsu nesher, they were captured by a Persian army unit, and in their hands were ubiyodam dvorim hanase beluz, and in their hands they had items that were processed in luz. And what were those items? Umayinu treles, the dyed wool or tzitzis, sometimes referred to by the term treles. That's what they had. They had treles. Bezchus harachem bezchusam. Yatsu b'shalom, and through the merit that they had, and the merit of mercy, they escaped in peace. V'amuse yerechei nachshon bikshu l'kvoa nitziv echad. The expression amuse yerechei nachshon, Rashi explains, nosi shebe'eretz Yisrael shu mizera nachshon b'amidado rishon l'anasiyim. The nosi in Eretz Yisrael was a descendant from Nachshon ben Amidadov. So the Nosi Sheberet Yisrael, Bikshu Likboa Nitziv Echad, wanted to add another month. V'lo Henichon Edomi Haloz, and this heathen would not allow them. Aval Bale Asufois Nesvu V'kovulo Nitziv Echad, B'yerach Shemes Boi Aron Akoyen. And even so, even though they were under pressing circumstances, they nevertheless, the Bali Asufos, the Talmidei Chachamim, declared to add another month in the month that Aaron died. Now, the month that Aaron died was Av, Chodesh Av. Chodesh Av is before Rosh Hashanah. It's 2 months before Rosh Hashanah. You have Av, and then Elul, and then Tishrei. So what do we see from this incident? We see a message that declares that the Talmidei Chachamim established an extra month in Av, which is before Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara answers, Chashuvi Mechashvi. The calculations were made. However, Giluye Lo Maglu. However, the decision, the public announcement, was not made until after Rosh Hashanah. In the course of this story, the expression Nitziv was used as a reference to a month. And if you take advantage of our little asterisk to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you will notice the line above in which the term Nitziv was used in reference to adding a month. So the Gemara asks, "My mashma dahai Nitziv lishna de yarchuhu." Where do you see that the word Nitziv is associated with a month? Dichtiv. The pasuk says, regarding Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, and the support that was generated for maintaining the royal household, it says, "Shlomo shneim asar nitzivim al kol Yisrael." Shlomo HaMelech had 12 appointed ministers that were appointed over all of Israel. V'kilkelu es HaMelech v'es beiso chodesh b'shana, and each one of these appointed individuals were appointed to make sure that funds were gathered for the royal household, one per month, one appointee for every month. So we see that the term Nitziv is used in the context with someone appointed over a month. Hence the term Nitziv can be used interchangeably with month. The Gemara asks a technical question, Valksiv, if you want to say that a month is referred to by the term Nitziv, and we see in this pasuk 12 months. What about this pasuk? It says Unitziv Echad Asher Baretz. says there was a singular Nitziv. How do you explain a singular Nitziv in the context of our answer that a Nitziv is a reference to a month? Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman, Chad Omar Memuna al Kulam. This pasuk is a reference to one appointee that was appointed over all of the others who were in charge of the months, the support for the royal household per month. So that this pasuk is a reference to the overseer of the others. V'chad Omar keneged chodesh ha'ibor. This pasuk is a reference to the need to have an appointed individual over the leap year situation where an extra month was added to the year, an Ador Sheni. So that this pasuk unitziv echod asher moras was a reference to the one appointed over Ador Sheni. Tanu Rabbanan. We have another source involving the series, part of the series of those rules concerning extension of year. On the outside margin, we have a topic heading, Nosei, Ein Ma'abrin, point one, Mishana Lechaverta, from 1 year to the next, and number point two, Gimel Shanim Ritzufos, three years in succession, and another point, Lo B'Shvius, we don't extend a year if it's a Shemitah year, V'lo B'Motzoi Shvius, and we don't extend a year one of the new cycle, of the Shemitah cycle, that's called the Motzoi Shvius year. It's likewise not added. We don't add an extra month. The Gemara continues. Tan Rabbanan ein ma'abri nes hashana lo mishana lechaverta. Let's see Rashi on this. Mishana lechaverta im shana habo tzricho la'aber. If it is felt that the next year needs to be extended, ein ma'abrin shana zu b'tnei tzorchei shana haba. We don't extend this year, the current year, to cover the needs of next year. Elo hatzricha tisaber. Rather, the year that needs to be extended, it itself is extended, and not the year that precedes it. The second point here is velo sholosh shonim zu achar zu. Rashi here says velo sholosh shonim zu achar zu. In fact, Rashi provides a couple of explanations to this, two versions, but we'll deal with the first one. He says she'im kein, if you were to have 3 years, each one having an extra month in it, she'im kein mishtanos hashanim mitikunam, then there's going to be a severe discrepancy, a lack of synchronization between the lunar months and the solar phenomenon. And what would happen? Uba lo nisan hashlishi, the third nisan, by virtue of the fact that the lunar calendar would be extended by a month, that means you'll have very long lunar years, so to speak. You'll have the third Nisan, namely the Nisan of the third extended year, coming out be'emtza hakayetz, to come out in the middle of the summer, because the solar years are going to be they're consistent 365 days. The extended years would come out to approximately 383 days. So you can imagine, if you have long lunar years, you're going to have Nisan as part of a lunar calendar coming out on the third year in the middle of the summer, because those are shorter years, shorter solar years. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Shimon, Maisib Rabbi Akiva, Shoya Chovush Beis Asurim. It happened once upon a time that Rabbi Akiva was imprisoned. The Iber Sholosh Shanim Zu Achar Zu. And which would seem to be an incident that contradicts what we just said, that they did extend 3 years one after the other. Amulo Misham Raya, they responded to Rabbi Shimon and said that you're trying to bring proof from over there, based in Yoshvu, Vekavu, Achas, Achas, Bismana. It's not as if they made a decision to have 3 years extended in one sitting. They made a decision to have that take place, but rather there was a Bezdin that sat and established each year on its own. Let's take a look at the Rashi, who explains in greater detail with more clarity. Based in Yoshua, V'kovu kolachas v'achas bizmano. V'lo, Rashi says, V'lo Ibru gimel shonim ritzufos. V'lo zu achar zu hoyu. It's not as if they sat there
and establish 3 leap years one after the other. Elo mibnei Shorbi Akiva Chacham Gadol Haya Uboki Beibor Hashana. Rather, since in the story involving Rabbi Akiva, since he was a very wise man and expert in details concerning extension of years, v'hu omed leharek, and he was on death row, bo basin v'yoshu imo, basin came to prison, visited him in prison on death row. They sat with him, v'ainu b'ibor gimel shanim, and they looked into the issues concerning 3 future years, v'loi ibru gimel ritzuvos. It's not as if they extended 3 consecutive years, ela kol achas bizmano, but rather each year that they decided upon was extended in its time. Deha amrino mipnei adchak chashuv chashvina. We said already before that calculations could be made ahead of time if you have pressing circumstances, geluye lo maglinon, and the only restriction being is that the publication of those decisions is not made so much ahead of time, but the actual calculations can be made way ahead of time. So that's what the conclusion of the Brisa said, that there's no raya from the case involving Rabbi Akiva that 3 years could be extended one after the other consecutively. Rather, based in Yoshvu, we're reading the last line of the source again, Basin was sitting, sat on the issue, v'kavu achas v'achas bizmano, and as we saw in Rashi, Basin sat and consulted with Rabbi Akiva, and concerning 3 years, but not in a consecutive fashion, and establish each year to be a leap year in its time. And as Rashi adds here, they may have made the calculations way ahead of time, but the actual decision to rule it to be a leap year was made in its time. In its time being, after Rosh Hashanah of those respective years. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Ma'abri Nes Hashanah, Lo B'Shvias, V'lo B'Motzoi Shvias. A year is not lengthened during a Shemitah year, because by doing that, you're causing people to experience Iser Avodas Karka. As is characteristic of a Shemitah year, there is no agricultural work that's performed. Hence, we don't want to lengthen this restriction. And v'lo b'motzei Shvias, Motzei Shvias is a situation where it's the year after the Shemitah year. In other words, a year of non-agricultural activity has just gone by. All their food supplies have dwindled down. And if you add time, if you add a month to the Motzoi Shvias, what you're in effect doing is you're extending the restriction of the new grains. We referred to this earlier. It's called the Iser Chodosh. You're making them wait longer till they can benefit from their new crops, the crops that are growing during the 8th year, and we don't want to do that. Emosai regilim laber, what was the customary time to extend a year? Erev Shvias. The optimal time to have an extended year would be if it came out on the 6th year of the agricultural cycle, because that way you're adding a month of time to perform agricultural activity, the 6th year being the last year before Shemitah year during which agricultural activity is permissible. So by adding a month, you're actually enabling them to conduct more avodas karka. Shalbeis Ramumil Hayom Abrin B'Motzoi Shvias. This is an opinion that disagrees with the earlier opinion in this source. It says that the Beis Ram Gamliel, the household Gamliel, that Shita held that we do extend a month during the Motzoi Shvias, the year after the Shemitah year. The question will be then, what's the point of difference between Beis Ram Gamliel and the earlier opinion? The Gemara explains, Ubeplukto dehani tanoi. The machlokis we just saw is dependent on another controversy, the Sanya. The following source brings 2 opinions, and then we'll tie everything together. The source says, Ein mevien yerek mechutz laretz, that one is not allowed to import vegetables from the diaspora. Verabosenu hitiru, and the other rabbis, they allow it. Now, if you hold that you're not allowed to import from chutz laretz, agricultural products, therefore, when you come to the Motzoi Shvias time, you would not be allowed to extend the Isur Chodesh by adding a leap year. They don't have any other source of for food. Hence, to ensure that they have a food supply as soon as possible, we say, according to this opinion that says Ein Mevi'in Yerek Mechutzarts, that you would therefore not be allowed to make Motzoi Shvi'as a leap year. However, if you go with the Rabboseinu that allow imports from Chutzarts of agricultural products, if we allow imports, then there would be nothing wrong with extending the Motzoi Shvi'as year by adding another Ador. True, their ability to benefit from the locally grown, the Eretz Yisrael grown new grains will be delayed. No problem, though. They can use imported material, imported agricultural products. My Binayu, the question here is, what is the source of this particular controversy? Why would one opinion say you are allowed to import the agricultural products from the diaspora and the rabbi? Why would one say no and one allow? Amar Rebbe Yirmiya, Hushin Lugushayan Ika Binayu. The point of difference between them is, do we concern ourselves with the possibility of clumps of dirt that would be attached to the imported agricultural products? You'll ask, what in the world could be the problem with clumps of dirt attached to the roots of these different agricultural products that are imported? The answer is as follows. The rabbis ruled that the areas outside of Eretz Yisrael have a din of Tumas Eres Ha'amim, which is a din giving the areas outside of Eretz Yisrael the status of Tumas Meis. It's a very high level of Tuma, albeit a Tuma de Rabbonan. And as such, people would hesitate getting involved with that type of material. So if you're Choshish, the reason for Tumas Eres Ha'amim has to do with lack of concern with established burial practices, we will say. And as a result of lack of established burial practices, the Rabbanan ruled that all of the area outside of Eretz Yisrael is considered having a din of a Beis HaKvoros. Hence, the dirt that comes from the diaspora is considered as if it has the dead contained therein. So, if you hold were choshish for Gushayu, that would be the first opinion. It says, Ein Mevi'in Yerek Mechutz La'aretz. However, if you say, I'm not choshish for that, I don't concern myself with that possibility, therefore, there'd be no restriction on importing agricultural products from Chutz La'aretz. Needless to say that in Eretz Yisrael, there was need to guard from things that would be mitame, things that would cause ritual impurity. Because in Eretz Yisrael, there were all types of different kinds of tithing that took place, and korbonos were present in Eretz Yisrael. We continue in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, we have another Tanaic source, and we also have a title featured to this particular section on the outside margin, Ein Ma'abrin Kedei Shiitaru Mitnei Tumas Meis. Machlokes Tanoim. The issue here would be extending a year so as to afford people the chance to achieve Tara, to achieve purity from being in a state of Tumas Meis. Rashi at the bottom says, about four lines from the bottom, Mipnei Hatuma, Kigon Shoya Nosi Choyle, a situation where the leader of the Jewish people was deathly ill, V'yamduhu Lamus Erev Pesach, and they calculated that it looks like he's going to expire Erev Pesach, O Shisha Yomim Koidim, or even 6 days before Pesach, V'yu Tameim, and as a result, the masses will become Tamei, because they will participate in his funeral. O Shahoya Rubon Tamein Basof Adar, Vikal Sefer Aporah. Or you might have another situation where Rove of the Tzibor, the majority of the Tzibor was Tomei at the end of Adar, and the Kol Sefer Aporah, and the ashes from the red heifer, the Pora Aduma, were used up, and they're under very pressing circumstances where they don't have right now a supply of new Efer Paraduma. Ein ma'abrin bekach ela yase betuma. So if you hold that ein ma'abrin zeshan b'neatuma, you will end up saying that this is not going to be a consideration for them to delay the onset of Pesach. Rather, let Pesach come, and even if they're in a state of tuma, no problem. Let them do the Korban Pesach in a state of tuma. We now turn to the Gemara itself. Tana Rabbanan ein ma'abrin zeshana b'nei hatuma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ma'abrin. Rabbi Yehuda says that we do take that into consideration, and if we see that as Pesach is approaching, people will be in a state of Tumah, let's add an Ador, and thereby the people who will have experienced Tumah will have had a chance to achieve their Tara, because Pesach was delayed by another month. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Notice we have a numbering system here. This will draw our attentions to several opinions regarding the story involving Chizkiyahu HaMelech and his reactions to the events therein. So Rabbi Yehuda tells us, Ma'aseh b'Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, an incident involving King Chizkiyahu, She'iber es hashana b'pnei hatuma, that extended the year because of tuma considerations, u'bikesh rachamim al atzmo, and then he prayed for mercy concerning himself. On the surface of things, it would seem that he did something wrong, and that's why he had to seek mercy for himself. This is a bit problematic, because Rabbi Yehuda just got finished saying, where we underline his name, that we are ma'aber mipnei hatuma, and now we have a story where Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda is featured as having been ma'aber mipnei hatuma, and all of a sudden needing to pray for mercy over himself. These will be points that the Gemara will discuss later. Tichtiv, the pasuk concerning this says, "Ki marbis ha'am rabas me Ephraim u'menashe yisachar u'zvulun." The large number of people from the nation, from these different tribes, Ephraim and Menashe, yisachar u'zvulun, lo hi teharu, ki achlu es haPesach below kakosuv, ki hispalel chizkiyahu aleihem lemor Hashem atov yichaper be'ad. Rashi at the top says, "Ki ochlu es haPesach b'lo kakosuv, she'iber es hashana b'pnei hatuma shelo kados." It seems to indicate that he extended the year because of a tuma consideration, which he should not have done. In other words, the tuma consideration was not a reason for extending the year, and yet he did extend the year, and therefore he had to pray. He had to pray for mercy. The Gemara will discuss this a bit later. Rabbi Shimon Oimer im mipnei hatuma ibrua meuberes. If the decision to add a month to the year was because of tuma considerations, to allow them time to achieve tahara, the year would be extended. And if that's legitimate, then why was Chizkiyahu HaMelech seeking mercy for himself? She'ein ma'abrin ela ador, v'hu iber nisan b'nisan. This too will be explained later in the Gemara. But on the surface of things, the source is telling us that his problem was, Chizkiyahu's problem was, that we extend ador. What did he do? He waited till the onset of Nisan, and then declared leap year. Declared after Nisan started, he said, no, we're going to turn this into Adar Sheni, and thereby delaying the onset of Nisan by another month. However, what we just said, we will find later as to be a bit inaccurate. Third approach, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer, Mipshum Rabbi Shimon, he says in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Mipnei Shehesi es Yisrael Lasois Pesach Sheni. The Rashi says, on the third line from the top, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Lo Ibra, they did not extend the year. Elo Hesion lePesach Sheni Shelo Kadin. Chizkiyahu convinced the people, or caused them to practice Pesach Sheni, which is in the middle of the next month, the month of Iyar, Shelo Kadin, which was incorrect on his part. LeFikach Bikesh Rachamim Al Atzmo. This too will be the subject of discussion later in the Gemara. Omar Mar. The use of this series marking, the house marking, we can see on the outside margin, the Mivneh. These are Tzitutim, quotes. Meha Mokor, Shishil, Soif, Omar Aleph. These are going to be quotes. As you go down this page, you'll see the house form appearing several times. They are all quotes from the source that we just read, and while we were learning it, we also were mentioning from time to time that the points will be discussed later in the Gemara, and here they are. Omar Mar, this quote is from Omar Aleph. You can take advantage of the star that we have put in to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Omar Aleph, and if you turn back to Omar Aleph, you'll notice the corresponding star toward the bottom of the page, opposite where this line is being quoted from. Omar Mar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ma'abrin. The Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with the Tanakhama and said that if Tumah is a consideration, namely that people, if you leave the year as is, they will not be Tohar by the time Pesach comes around. Therefore, because of Tumah considerations, we're allowed to add a month. Alma, the Gemara says, from here we can conclude, Islay the Rabbi Yehuda Tumah Dechuyah Hi Betzibor. This is an expression that appears in many different Gemaras. The issue being, how do we approach Tumah in the context of public sacrifices, public concerns? There are two approaches. One is called Tumah Hutra B'tzibor, the other one is called Tumah Dechuyah B'tzibor. Tumah Hutra B'tzibor means that if the Tzibor is Tomei, and we have a sacrifice that's relevant to the Tzibor, then we do not reckon with the Tumah whatsoever. It doesn't stop us. It doesn't bother us in the slightest. That's Tumah Hutra B'tzibor. Tumah Dechuya B'tzibor tells us that if you have a situation which involves a public sacrifice, some Korban Tzibor, and there would be a way, and everyone is, and Rove of the Tzibor is Tomei, but there would be a way out of it. There would be a way to do it B'tahara. Then let us try to do it in a Tahara way and not confront the Tumah head on and just say, let's go ahead anyway. But rather, try to find a way to do it B'Tahara. So if you say that you have a situation that Rove of the Tzibur is Tomei and Pesach is approaching, and you say, hey, we have a way to get around the Tumah by simply adding a month to the year, which will allow the public enough time to achieve their Tahara, to achieve their purity, then let's do it that way. So that would show that Rabbi Yehuda holds the Tumah Dechuyah Hi B'tzibor, that's his opinion regarding the approach to Tumah. We're now going to ask a question from a source. Before we actually read the source, let's cheat, so to speak. Let's look ahead using the markings and see what the problem is. As if you employ the dashed underline marking, which is one of our emphasis markings, you'll see later in this source, Rabbi Yehuda's name is dashed underline, and there's also an expression, Shatuma Hutra B'tzibor. That would show us that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, not that Tumah Dechuyah B'tzibor, but rather that Tumah Hutra B'tzibor. As we said before, that means that when dealing with Tzibor matters, the Tumah does not bother us whatsoever, and we don't have to look for ways to get around it. We can confront it head on, and Tumah will not represent any type of imposition. So how are we going to resolve these two approaches to Rabbi Yehuda? Let us now see this inside. The Hotanya, the following source, Titzitz bein sheyeshno al mitzchoy ubein sheino al mitzcho meratze, divrei Rabbi Shimon. The tzitz was a gold headband, a gold plate fastened around the head of the Kohen Gadol. It had the Shem Hashem etched into it. And the power of the tzitz was to serve as a means of atoning for impurities that set upon different sacrifices. So that if a sacrifice was offered and it turned out to be Tomei, we say that the sacrifice was acceptable anyway. in order to say such a thing, that we're able to say that by virtue of the power of the tzitz to be meratzeh, to atone for tumah of korbanos. Rabbi Shimon says that the tzitz's power to atone is whether it's on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, and even if he's not wearing it, by virtue of the fact that it exists, is enough. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, Aleph, oidoi al mitzchoi meratzeh. Beis, ein oido al mitzchoi ein meratzeh. Only if it's on his forehead is it going to atone. If it's not on his forehead, then it doesn't have that power. It won't atone. Amar le Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon responds, what do you mean? If it's not on his head, it doesn't have any powers. Kohen Gadol biyom kippur miyochiach. Kohen Gadol, on the holiday of Yom Kippur, we know when he went into the Kodesh HaKodashim, he did not wear any of the gold vestments. He had four big day lovan. She'eno al mitzcho meratzeh, and he wasn't wearing the tzitz, and nevertheless, if any tumah set into the korbanos at that time, the korbanos were still acceptable. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda responds and says, Hanoch liyom kippurim. Leave aside Yom Kippurim as an argument in your favor. Yom Kippur doesn't correspond to the topic we are dealing with. Why? Shetuma hutra b'tzibur. The nature of Yom Kippur is all of the Yom Kippur activities were of a public nature. Yom Kippur was not a time that people offered their personal or private korbanos. So when dealing with the realm of private korbanos, Rabbi Yehuda says what he says, and that is only if the Kohen Gadol is wearing it will the tzitz have its atonement or purification powers. If, however, you're dealing with a public matter like Yom Kippur, you don't need the tzitz whatsoever, because tumah hutra b'tzibur. Tumah is a non-issue, it's a non-starter, it's a non-imposition when it comes to public sacrificial matters. What's the point for us? We see over here Rabbi Yehuda taking the clear opinion, Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. Before, when Rabbi Yehuda declared that we're Ma'aber, Ishana, we extend the year in order to get around the Tumah problem that would cause a problem for the Korban Pesach, he said, we've got to deal with the Tumah threat and get around it. So that would show us the Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur. Uletamech, according to you that are raising this particular question, so I have a question back to you. It says, Tikshi Loch Higufa. Look at the source itself. The source itself is problematic. It's internally contradictory. How is that? Let us see what it says. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ma'abrin. Rabbi Yehuda says that because of Tumah, we do extend a year. The Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisi Bechizkiyo HaMelech Yehuda, Shibir Sashana, Mitnei HaTomo, Bikesh Rachamim Alatzmo. And then we see a story that Rabbi Yehuda himself quotes. It seems to contradict the whole thing, where Chizkiyo HaMelech extended a year because of Tumah, and he then had to pray for mercy upon himself, which would seem to say that you're not Ma'abir, the Shana, you don't extend a year because of Tumah considerations. Elo, Chesuri Mechasur V'Horitoni. Rather, you have to explain that the source that we were citing before with Rabbi Yehuda and Chizkiyo HaMelech is itself a bit brief. It's missing information, missing taught information, and we have to expand the source with the following interpretation. V'hochi kotani, we've treated this with a frame as well, because in our marking system we treat restated Tanaic sources as if they are themselves sources. So we continue now, and we will hopefully achieve a new understanding, and everything will be resolved. So we say that there was missing information, and it's to be understood as follows. Ein ma'abrin es hashana v'pnei hatumah. That the Tanakhama says, we should not extend a year because of tumah considerations. V'imi brua muberes. And if the decision is made to extend the year by adding another month, then it is binding. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, eino muberes. Rabbi Yehuda says, it is not to be accepted. It's not going to be extended. In other words, if tumah is a consideration, that is no reason to extend the year. And why is that? Because, and we've written this in between the lines, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that tumah hutra b'tzibur. The Omar Rabbi Huda, and then Rabbi Huda reports an incident where Chizkiyo HaMelech extended the year because of Tumah, which was wrong on his part, and as a result of that, he in fact had to pray for mercy. So, at the end of the day, Rabbi Huda represents an opinion, Tumah Hutra Betzibor. And not like we thought when we opened up this particular piece where the Gemara tried to say, oh, we see from here the Rabbi Huda holds Tumah Dechuya Betzibor. No, not so. Rather, as we saw involving the statement he made in the context of Yom Kippur, that Tumah Hutra Betzibor, and therefore with regard to public sacrificial considerations, Tumah does not have to be reckoned with whatsoever. It doesn't pose any imposition on us. Continuing in the Gemara, Ihachi, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Mipnei Hatuma Ibruha, Meuberes. We see in the source that we had seen on the upper part of the page, Rabbi Shimon saying that if they extended the year because of Tumah, it is binding. The way we presented things just now with the Chisuri Mechasra, we showed that the Tanakama holds the same thing. And the Gemara asks, Hainu Tanakama. Notice the use of the arrows that we have here, the regular arrow. This points to a few lines up where the Tanakama said, Imi Brua Muberes. And here we have Rabbi Shimon, who's quoted from the source at the upper part of the page. And if you look at the left-hand side of the Gemara text, you notice a squiggle arrow to show you where that quote from Rabbi Shimon is coming from, the upper part of the page. And Rabbi Shimon then turns out that he's saying the same thing as the Tanakama. And being that there are two opinions that appear in the same source, they can't be saying the same thing. Omar, Rova l'chatchila ika binayu. The issue of extending a year because of Tumah considerations as a primary reason to do it, l'chatchila, to go ahead and do it, is a point of difference between them. And we can glance at Rashi. He says, l'chatchila ika binayu, detanakama komar ein ma'abrin l'chatchila. That you, at first, you shouldn't choose that as the way to go. Namely, if you see that Tumah is a consideration, then you shouldn't choose as your primary method to get around the problem by extending the year. Ulu Rabbi Shimon, Rashi goes on to say, Ma'abrin l'chatchila. Rabbi Shimon says, you are allowed to do it even as a primary method. Continuing in the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Tanaic source that bears this particular difference between the two opinions, bears it out. Ein ma'abrin es hashanam ne'atuma l'chatchila. There you go. There's the Tanakhama that says that you should not extend the year as a primary method of resolving the Tumah problem by adding a month. Rabbi Shimon Omer Me'abrin. And here, as you see, Rabbi Shimon says, you can use that as a primary method of solving the Tumah problem. El Ne'ma Bikesh Rachamim Al Atzmo. So then why did Chizkiyahu HaMelech pray mercy for himself? Because She'ein Me'abrin El Ador V'hu Iber Nisan B'Nisan. Because Chizkiyahu HaMelech behaved incorrectly, he extended the year when the month of Nisan already set in, when we know that one is not to do that. One is to extend the year, to make the decision or announce the decision to extend the year no later than the month of Adar, but not any time beyond that, namely not into Nisan. Now we're going to look into this matter. Omar Mar, She'ein Ma'abrin Elo Ador, V'hu Iber Nisan B'Nisan. Okay, this is a quote from what we just saw, and we saw this as well in the upper part of the page. And you can see this with the use of the double asterisk that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, where we have it here, we have it the line above, which said Shein Ma'abrin Ela Ador V'hu Iber Nisan B'Nisan, which this says, and we see it in the original source toward the upper part of the page. The Gemara then quotes this as we did, Omar Mar Shein Ma'abrin Ela Ador V'hu Iber Nisan B'Nisan. which literally means after they were Mekadesh, the month, L'shem Nisan, he then turned around and said, no, let us redeclare it as Adar Sheni. The Gemara asks, V'lesle l'chizkyo achodesh ezeh lochem, does Chizkyo HaMelech not hold from the drosha on the pasuk that says, Ze Nisan ve'ein acher Nisan, that which means that once Nisan is declared to be the month of Nisan, you can't now change it into something else. You can't make it into Adar. How could he possibly have made such a mistake? So the Gemara answers, he never made that mistake. It's not like we thought. It's not as if they already declared Nisan as the month and he turned around and turned it into Adar Sheni. Rather, Ta b'deshmuel. His mistake was of a finer nature, of a more detailed nature. His mistake concerned Shmuel's teaching. Di'omar Shmuel, Ein ma'abrin es hashana b'yoyim shloshim shel Adar, hoyol v'roi l'koivoy Nisan. Shmuel goes a little bit further and says that you do not declare an added month of Adar, an added Adar Sheni, when you're before Nisan, namely you're on the 30th day of Adar. In other words, you have your regular month of Adar, you reach day 30. At that point, it's too late to declare Adar Sheni as the next month. Why is day 30 of Adar too late? Because day 30 potentially could have been the first of Nisan. Had witnesses showed up to Beis Din, to the court, saying we saw the new moon, the new phase of the moon, and they did that on the day after the 29th of Adar, namely on day 30 of Adar, that day itself would have been declared the first of Nisan. So Shmuel's teaching says not only are you not allowed to declare in the month of Nisan an Adar Sheni, you can't even declare in a day that was potentially Nisan an Adar Sheni. The Ihu Savar Chizkiyo HaMelech thought, Hoyul V'roi, this concept of potentiality, Lo Amrinon, is a non-consideration. In other words, Chizkiyo, before he realized the mistake, he thought that if you're day 30 of Adar, so what? It's not Nisan yet. We can conclude, we can announce it to be the beginning of Adar Sheni. But then he had a change of mind, and he realized that was wrong, and therefore prayed for himself. Tanyo nami hachi, ein ma'abrin es hashana b'yoyim shloshim shel Adar. We even have a Tanaic source that supports Shmuel's teaching that says, we don't declare an extra year on the day 30 of Adar, hoyol v'roi l'koivoy Nisan. And we've dashed, underlined the expression, hoyol v'roi l'koivoy, as being the main point. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Mitnei Shehesi Es Yisrael Lasois Pesach Sheni. This too is a quote from the source at the upper part of the page, and one can find that by looking for our triple asterisk marking that you see opposite the left hand, this line on the opposite, on the left hand side of the Gemara text, and scanning to the upper part of the page where you see a triple asterisk as well. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, we read this already, that the problem with Chizkiyo HaMelech was Neshe Heisi Es Yisrael Asos Pesach Sheni. He convinced the public to practice Pesach Sheni, which would mean, in general, Pesach Sheni is a situation where if a minority of the public is in a state of Tumah, so the majority do their Pesach in the month of Nisan. The minority of the people that are Tomei will wait till the middle of Iyar, and in the middle of Iyar, they will do their Pesach, and that's called Pesach Sheni. What were the circumstances that surrounded the Chizkiyo HaMelech story? Hechidomi. Omar Rav Ashi, Kegoin Shehoyu Yisrael Mechza Temeim Mechza Tehurim. Rashi explains that the Mechza Temeim is not literally, but it doesn't have to be literally, or rather Roiv, it could be even Roiv of the males were Tomei. So you have a situation where Roiv of the male, of the males of the Jewish people were Tomei, and we were approaching Yudalit Nisan. V'noshim mashlimois latahirim v'oitvois alehim. And in this very situation, the female members of Klal Yisrael were tohor, and if you were to add the females who were tohor to the minority of males that were tohor, you would have a situation where rove of the people were tohor. In a situation we have rove of the people of tohor, so then the minority would in fact do Pesach Sheni. What's the problem over here? Me'ikoro Savar, at first he thought, Noshim Berishon Choiva, that women, with regard to Pesach Rishon, namely the Korban Pesach that is supposed to be done, Yud Dalet Nisan, are obligatory. It's an obligation upon women to offer a Korban Pesach. As a result, Dahavu Mi'uton Tameim. So, in the scenario that we described before, you have Mi'ut of Klal Yisrael, impure, Umi'uton mitchul pesach sheni, and as the rule states, and we said it already above, we said it earlier, that mute are pushed off to pesach sheni, and that's what Chizkio convinced them to do. He convinced the males who were tamei to hold off and do pesach sheni. Ula basov savar, but then upon reconsideration, he concluded noshim barishon reshus. Women, with regard to Pesach Rishon, are not obligatory. It's not obligatory upon women to do the Pesach Rishon. Tahavulu Tameim Ruba. In such a situation, as was described, as far as the obligated people were concerned, rove of them were Tomei. For Ruba, lo matru the Pesach Sheni. And when you have a situation of majority Tomei, the majority are not pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but rather the majority do the Korban Pesach in their state of Tuma. Gufa, Amar Shmuel, Ein Ma'abrin Es Hashana B'yoyim Shloshim Shal Adar Hoyul V'roy L'koyvoy Nisan. This was quoted earlier, and we have arrows to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to indicate where this is a quote from. Shmuel's rule being that we are not to extend a year or make the announcement or decision to extend a year, even if you're dealing with the 30th day of Adar. And why is that? Because in potential, it could have turned into the 1st of Nisan. Ibruhamai. What would be if they did extend the year on the 30th of Adar? Omar Ula, Ein Mekachin Es HaChodesh. We do not make an announcement to say Mekudoshu. Kidshu Mai. Let us say they went ahead, they violated this, and they announced it to be Ador Sheni. They shouldn't have made the announcement, they did. Omar Rava Botel Ibor. If they did that, if they extended the year on the 30th of Ador and announced it as Ador Sheni, Rava says, Omar Rava Botel Ibor, the extension is void. Rav Nachman Omar Meubor Umekudosh. It sticks. It's considered an extended year, and their kiddush is a kiddush. Omalei Rava Rav Nachman. Rava is very uncomfortable with this situation where on the 30th of Adar there was a decision made to extend the year, and hence Pesach will come out instead of the anticipated 2 weeks. It'll come out in 6 weeks. So Rava raises the following problem to Rav Nachman. Michti. Mi Purya lepischa, from Purim till Pesach equals Talsin Yomen Havu. It's a period of 30 days. Umi Purya darshina behilchas Pesach. And as was customary, people started getting involved, getting prepared for Pesach by involving themselves with the laws of Pesach from Purim. The Sanya sholem behilchas Pesach, koydem lepesach shloshim yom. The laws of Pesach to be asked about, to be studied 30 days before Pesach. Shmuel Lomer Shtei Shabbosis. Shmuel Lomer says less time is necessary. 2 weeks. However, V'chimoti Reish Yarcha, when Rosh Chodesh would come around, in our scenario, where, according to you, Rav Nachman, if they declared the Ador, an Ador Sheni on the 30th of Ador, of the Ador Rishon, they declare there will be an Ador Sheni. So Rosh Chodesh will come around. Mirachkin Lei will end up pushing off Pesach. Instead of happening in another 2 weeks, it'll happen in another 6 weeks. Asi Vizilzule Bechametz. People will come to Mizalzel in Pesach. What will happen? People in their minds have been involved with Pesach preparations from Purim. They've been involved with it for 2 weeks. At this point, they're anticipating Pesach coming around in 2 weeks, not in 6 weeks. When the 6 weeks come around, which may be officially the Pesach, people aren't going to be taking it seriously. They're going to think they're way past Pesach, and they'll come to Mizalzel in the Dinim of Pesach, of the Dinim of Chometz. Omar Lei. So Rav Nachman answers Rava, says, you don't have to worry. We can have the Pesach coming out later than the public expected. Meida Yedi'i, people know, the Shosa Ma'abrusa, the Chushban Atayo Milsa, that leap years are dependent on Cheshbonis, on calculations. Amri, people will understand when they are told that Pesach is coming out later than they thought. People will figure, they're not going to think it's some type of joke simply because they were already involved with their preparations, but rather they will figure chushbana hu delo solik lehu l'rabbonan ad hashta, that the calculations that needed to be made didn't work out until very late, until now. And as a result of that, they'll realize that even though the decision to extend the year is taking place so late, they realize that it's a legitimate decision, and hence will take very seriously the announcement that there will be an extra month, and hence when Pesach comes around in 6 weeks, it will be then that they, the public, will celebrate Pesach properly. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.